Now we're talking.
That was better. Folks, thanks for tuning in again. It's Now We're Talking with your host, Jeff Bryant, here as always with Keith Kennedy in the studio, CITR 101.9 FM. Keith, how are you?
I am very well.
This week we're going to try something. We're going to have a theme. And the theme for this week's show is technology slash the future. This week's guest, we're going to get to that in about 10 minutes or so, is Jonathan Seibel. He's a technology enthusiast friend of mine in Toronto. I'm going to get to that in about 10 minutes. But Keith, let's talk about technology. I know this is a conversation we've had throughout the years.
Yeah, yeah.
What does it mean to you?
it's
such a large topic,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, the first thought that I have is that the reason I love technology is because I fear death.
Okay.
It's as simple as that. Like, every time there's, like, a new medical thing, like, I eat up, like, the Vice cancer research shows and things like that. Like, every time I see those, I'm like, yes, I'm on the cusp. I've always felt like I'm on the cusp.
Well, then you know who Ray Kurzweil is then, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because that's in the conversation I have with Jonathan. That's one of the things we briefly touched upon, was he had a documentary called The Transcendent Man.
Yeah.
And he's an inventor, futurist, science guy who's been around for about 40 plus years in terms of working on these premises.
Yeah.
But the main thing he's working on is defying death, because, as he says, he doesn't accept the premise.
Yeah, yeah.
So
he's the one who takes like a ton of vitamins all the time,
I think he used to take like 200 pills a
day,
and now
he's
down to 100.
Yeah, and he eats like very clean, like dark chocolate for this specific reason, and like berries for this. Yeah.
And the document, if you haven't seen it, again, it's called The Transcendent Man. That's what turned me on to him.
Yeah.
But it's funny you mentioned that, because I always think of him right away when the concept of immortality comes up, because in a way it's just a laughable idea.
Oh, yeah.
The only thing we've ever known for certain is that life and death go hand in hand, but he just doesn't accept that.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure whether I'm amused by the fact that somebody as intelligent as him is thinking in those terms, or whether I'm optimistic. But
I'm certainly optimistic.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm the transcendent dude. Like, I'm right there with him. If you can't accept God, then immortality is the next best thing to help you avoid death.
Yeah.
And so, because there's no proof of that, I'm looking for proof of these other things that will keep me alive until they discover how to keep you from dying. And that's what I mean by the cusp. It's like a capital C thing for me in my life, is wanting to hang on until they conquer death. And I swear it's going to happen in my generation. I just don't know if I'm going to be able to stick around for it.
It's funny, because one of the things that Jonathan and I discussed in our interview was just the idea that it's such a fascinating thing to be alive when we're alive right now.
Mm-hmm.
Humans have been around for millennia, and within the last 100 or 200 years, so much change in the world in terms of technology.
Ridiculous.
And of course, even in the last generation or the last 5 years or what have you. So forgetting about the concept of immortality, it's already intriguing to be alive at this moment. But if it was actually the case in the 21st century that mortality was solved, then it would be very interesting timing to be alive when death is cured.
I've often thought of you trying to use that creatively. It's almost too big a topic for me to figure out how to do it in a fictional sense, because it feels very real. Like, I get this, I don't know what you call them, news blast. It's just about what's happening in science on any given week. And it is absurd. Like, it's just discovery after discovery. Things that, like, you thought would never happen are being improved upon. Like, 6 months later, you're like, graphene can now do this at this weight.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, actually, we got something better than that.
It's that exponential rate of
growth.
Yeah,
it's nuts. And it's, like, battering me in the face all the time how fast we're going.
Yeah.
Right? And if we could just get money in the right areas, if everything could turn a profit in science, we would be going even faster. It's because people need to make money.
Mm-hmm.
For good reasons and bad, but you have to make money, you got to make a profit, and that stops us from really getting ahead in ways like health. You'd think that would be good to go that way, but because pharmaceuticals make so much money, that isn't where a lot of the money is. Making people live longer and not needing drugs isn't where the money is. Otherwise, we'd probably already be there, right?
Yeah, it's so this concept of death and even health, regardless of immortality, it's so interesting. There's no question that, of course, we're living so much longer than we have in the past, even just in a matter of generations.
Mm-hmm.
So life extension is certainly happening, but the possibility of living forever through technology is so bizarre, because sometimes when I'm just thinking in terms of all the exciting things that are coming, all in terms of technology, I'll think, oh, I'm going to miss out on that. I'm just going to miss out on that. And sort of because I'm experimenting with being accepting of death, apparently. But but it's interesting to think that what might be possible.
Yeah, I mean, It's almost too big. It's almost too big a topic. We picked the wrong theme, Jeff. It's a terrible. It's a terrible theme. I don't know if it can possibly get any faster. You know, you talk about like if when we die, we might be in the greatest advancement period in the history of man.
Mm.
Which, if it, you know, if the Reaper comes knocking, at least we've got that.
Yeah, at least we have, we timed it just right for that. What do you think? Do you think that? If we accept that technology is growing exponentially, to what end? Do you think that we've hit that sweet spot? Or is this perhaps, if you zoomed back on the graph, is this just the beginning of that process? I mean, I guess it really, the question is, how long will humanity survive?
Mm-hmm.
So if
in
it's,
this form, yeah.
If it's on the cusp of extinction, then, well, then we're in the sort of the latter, the throes of it. Who knows? This could be just the beginning.
Well, some would claim that we're not going to be what we were. That may be the end of humanity. But as you and I have discussed before, I want all the machines. Gimme. Like, put them in me, sew me up, with turn me into a cyborg as fast as possible.
Yeah.
Because that's the future for me. And some people would say that we're not humans anymore. If my brain can be replaced by a more efficient brain... I don't care if I'm not human. I know some people really do care about that sort of stuff, but that's my interest in technology.
Yeah, for some people it's disturbing, and for others it's exhilarating.
Yeah, I guess make me better. Cut me open right now and put all that stuff in.
Yeah, I guess the ethical question for people is at what point do you cease to be a human being? But it's and we've talked about this in the past. I remember like over a decade ago you were talking about the idea that a limb could be, an artificial limb could be... sort of tethered into your nerves.
Oh, yeah, the control thing.
This was like 10 or 15 years.
Yeah,
I think in the last 10 or 15 years, that's come along quite
swimmingly.
Yeah,
I think they've gone like way past this now. What that was, I was really fascinated by, was the ability to program your brain to utilize a different nerve in a different muscle group. So say you needed to squeeze an artificial arm, you could squeeze your pec. And that would, and you could relearn.
Yeah, train it.
Yeah, and it would just be like taking a typing course where you're, you know, the middleman goes away, and you just know, your brain knows, make my arm move.
Yeah,
and
reassign those impulses
exactly.
from the brain.
Exactly. So it like reconnects the synapse in a way that passes over the fact that you're actually, you know, triggering your pec.
And so I remember you explaining that and thinking, what are the implications of that? Like, you get new arms, new legs, like new what?
Yeah.
Where, and then you think about organs and synthetic organs and
all be octopus
nanotechnology.
People.
Yeah.
And now I think they've gone even past that, where there's a point where actual brain waves are being used to activate not only like exoskeletons, but they're getting to the point now where we can take those components and put them into you.
Mm-hmm.
So your brain waves can move. Your hand from inside, things like that. Now, that's pretty cutting edge. But I think I saw at least one documentary where they were doing very well with that. So again, just like I was saying about the graphene and these new materials they're using to conduct electricity better, they're doing that with the human body, where they're finding things so fast that the thing that you thought was cool 2 months ago or 2 years ago is in the rear view.
And what's funny for me is I'm remembering how you introduced me to some of these concepts about 10 or 15 years ago. And yet of all the friends I have or people I've noticed in the world, you're one of the most recent adopters of a smartphone.
Yeah. That's like,
are those two facts connected somehow?
Well, I don't think they are. I think
certainly what it tells me is that while you're interested in technology broadly, it doesn't mean that you need to be the first adopter of consumer devices related to technology.
Yeah, I'm a really patient person in that regard. Like, I don't need to see them. The only reason I go to see movies on opening weekend is because of how much social media conspires to spoil the plot for me.
Yeah.
So I've had to become... that's actually a really good example of what we're talking about, is how social media becomes a big part of my life. It's like it's an external hard drive with all these people and thoughts, and because that's affecting me, I have to change my behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would never have to do that. So that's what's interesting about the technology last was I didn't have any need for it. I was willing to wait and see how long I could go without it while everyone else was doing it. That was interesting to me, despite my love of technology.
Yeah.
And yet, once I finally succumbed, I bolted into that arena, like as soon as I got my hands on it.
Yeah, it goes to show, from your experience, I remember when I would, in the pre-texting Keith era, it was a matter of calling you.
Yeah.
I think you were the last person in my life who, if I wanted to say, hey, do you want to hang out, I would call your
and
telephone
I'd
number,
to be home.
Hope that you'd answer the phone, and then proposition that idea to you and see if it worked for you in your life at that moment.
Yeah.
And it's been amazing to, it kind of showed me what I took for granted in terms of texting. We're going to continue that conversation more, but let's dive into the conversation I had this week with technology enthusiast and friend of mine, Jonathan Seibel, in Toronto. We talk about Tesla, SpaceX. If you're a fan of Elon Musk, and if you know about what he does, you're going to be interested in this interview.
I think it's something that is very compelling because it's taking over how society, or humanity rather, I should say, progresses, and it's intriguing that it does that. I mean, it started as nothing more than us trying to make life a little easier, and then it's progressed into this thing where it's like a snowball effect and you can't stop it now, and it's an exponential growth in everything. Yeah. And in every means of life, and it's expanding into every means of life. And then with integration of internet and the internet of things, it's just, again, it's just a constant ball that keeps going and evolving and changing. And then one thing comes in and disrupts it, and all of a sudden the focus has changed so quickly and drastically changed their move. I don't know, it's just, I think it's the most quick, progressive, happening thing is technology, and period. And that's why I'm fascinated.
Yeah, and you use that term exponential growth, which I noticed because I always like focus in on that element, which is not just that, and I think a lot of people don't fully appreciate it. It's not just that things are changing faster than ever before. It is that if you visualize that curve of exponential growth, it implies that it's... It's happening so quickly that when you look back a year from now, a year ago, or 5 years ago, 10 years ago, you really notice that trajectory of growth, and it just makes you think how much more will change in my lifetime.
Well, and again, that sometimes can be something that's not even fathomable because it's just beyond our own comprehension, our own understanding.
Yeah,
not to think that we won't continue to progress or make something new, but it's hard to think what is that next step.
Let's talk about some specific products because you and I haven't had the chance to talk about them.
Yeah.
And the first thing that comes to mind is the Model 3. How are you optimistic that they're going to pull it off more than ever? You feel like it's on the right track?
Yeah, I think they are on the right track. I mean, I think they will pull it off, having the research they have from the Model S and then the Roadster as well, working on smaller frame vehicle comparison to the sedan size. There's obviously changes need to be made, but I really think they are taking a step in the right direction. And having seen, the announcement and specs on it and everything else, it seems on par to what I would have expected it to be. And the price is right there. I mean, I think it's a really, really good first step for that, that mass consumer, for that major audience that they're going after, the average Joe who can't afford, $100,000+ sedan vehicle or SUV or little sports car, right?
I mean, yeah.
it's definitely amazing. And one thing that I really love is that the autonomous driving is standard. That's autopilot is something that is across all of these, whether you're paying, double, triple the price, doesn't matter. You're getting that standard, which is, again, that is the most breakout feature of this vehicle. Sure, electric vehicles, we've had that since the 70s. EV1. But then you look at, these new cars and how everything's updated just via wireless signal.
You realize this isn't just that the car is electric. There's more and more elements to this that are huge in their implications. Like you're saying, the fact that the cars will now have software updates,
right?
it means that when you buy a car in 2018, let's say, you're not going to miss out on whatever advancements happen over the life of the car. There's so many things like that that if you understand, I think it helps you to put down the $35,000 US or whatever it is, because it helps you to understand the value you're getting for that amount of money.
Right. It's not like a one pop, here's my money, thanks for the car, that's it.
I mean, if it
gives you that longevity in your vehicle. It's not a five-year life.
Totally unprecedented as far as innovation when it comes to buying a vehicle. If you buy a car in 2003, in 2008, 2013... you're going to miss out on a lot of developments. But like you're saying, the fact that it can be updated is huge in its implications as far as getting value for your money. the reason I appreciate what Tesla's done is they got the ball rolling. You know, there were sort of abortive attempts in the past, like you mentioned, the EV1 for companies to explore this, and whether the timing wasn't right, the technology wasn't there yet, whatever the reasons might be. You know, one of the contributing factors is probably oil companies and other massive influencers opposing it and get it standing in the way. So it takes such courage for somebody to sort of step out and be the first to get things started, because it's not just that people are cynical about it, it's that people, you know, I almost feel like those people that put their necks out are vulnerable to like assassination or something, just because when there's that much money in the world changing hands, that that can be a life or death thing. So I'd like to think that it's like once enough people are part of a movement, it becomes harder to kill everybody.
Yeah, I like that. If we stick together, they can't kill us all.
Yeah, it's more difficult. It's more problematic for them to kill us all. It's been a big year for SpaceX, right? Because they finally were able to demonstrate the reusable rocket with landing the rocket. That's something that they talked about for a while. It finally happened, and that's a huge moment, I think, isn't it?
I have to 100% agree with you there. It's so cool to see. I mean, the amount of time that's saved and the amount of energy that's saved, it's awesome.
Money.
And it's wild. And it's just to have that ability already and to see that advancement in even a shorter time frame, like it's incredible. Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about exponential growth of technology, but there's also the economical aspect to these things. The money needs to come from somewhere to fund these things. And the future of the space economy, it seems, will rely upon those huge breakthroughs that reduce the cost of going to space and sending things and people to space. And my understanding is that as the technology is perfected to reuse rockets, I mean, of course it's going to make it cheaper to go to space, just like it's cheaper to fly to Europe if you use a plane that can go back and forth rather than a disposable plane. So when you just think about the math of that alone, you think, wow, like that's going to be a huge step in the direction of the space economy growing vastly in the coming years.
Well, I think it'll be interesting to even see then the, the trip to Mars.
Yeah, it's funny that this overall overarching goal that Elon Musk has to colonize Mars is so beautiful, and that it does sound so outrageous to anybody, certainly to, again, just the casual observer. It sounds so outrageous that it really challenges people to have such a... That is, like, when you think about how companies have their mission statement or their corporate philosophy, like I challenge most companies to have an ambition as lofty as colonizing another planet.
I love it. And that's the thinking we need. That's exactly what we need. Don't be in belief that it's impossible. You can do anything with how far we've come.
It's funny because you think about, you know, the expression when you take a moonshot, right? When you think large, like a moonshot. Mm-hmm. I've never thought about this, but it's funny to think that he's actually taken it higher than the moonshot and created the Mars
he's
shot.
He's doing a Mars shot here. This is a Mars shot.
He's made the moonshot seem trivial. We've talked about a lot of things, but I also want to make sure we touch on a couple other key things, one of which is the Gigafactory. Did you know that that's going to be officially opened at the end of this month?
That's incredible. Yeah, I had read a little news clip on that saying that they're very, very close to completion and should be up and running at 100% very soon. And that's wow, incredible. I mean, it's one of the largest buildings in the world.
Yeah, I was reading it's by surface area. It is the largest building in the world, second in terms of volume to a Boeing manufacturing facility. But essentially, it's got the largest square footage. And that was about 2 years ago that they announced it and they broke ground, maybe even slightly less than 2 years. And again, that's a key part of the plan as far as creating the battery technology to pull off the Model 3. And it's just it's incredible. It's one thing to see these things announced as ideas or possibilities, but for them to have actually followed through on building that site. And I think they're already creating the power wall. They've already been doing some limited manufacturing there. But for, right. for it to now play out at full capacity, it's like, wow, this is another big step in the direction of mm-hmm. being able to pull off the Model 3.
I couldn't agree with you more. It's so awesome that it's that last key component to it. And you always think it's the last component, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, by the way, now we're acquiring SolarCity. It's like, what? That's such a good idea. You know, it's always, it gets to that point, and you think, oh, this is it. This is incredible. Oh, wait, the car drives itself. What?
Like, yeah.
There's always been these steps. There's always been this excitement. It's like, oh, guess what? Now we have the fastest car in the world, or it's tied with the Bugatti Veyron with ludicrous mode. Oh, and you just need to update it if you have the certain engine model. It's yeah. like, ow.
And by the way, if you get the latest update, you can just drive it to Mars.
That's the newest update, right? How
that's
amazing.
Coming up.
No, it drives you to Mars.
I think that's coming up fourth quarter of this year. I was reading that somewhere. I think I read it in Yahoo Finance that in the fourth quarter of 2016, you'll be able to get an update for your Model S, because of course the Model 3s aren't yet available, to just drive it straight to Mars. When you get there, of course, obviously, you won't have a place to park it, but you can drive it there.
But I think it'll self-park itself. We don't even need to worry about
that. That's true. It'll self-valet. It'll just have like self-valeting services. And then the other thing, of course, is the Hyperloop, which similarly mm-hmm. to what we were just saying, it starts out as this idea, and it's fascinating enough just as a concept, but you don't really expect it anytime soon to begin to materialize. And unlike all of these other things, this has actually not been pursued by Elon Musk. It was sort of his conception,
right.
and he sort of plotted out. But I was reading today that there are a couple companies mm-hmm. who have not just begun, but I think they recently had, in the last few weeks, or maybe it was a couple months ago, they had a test in the desert where
right.
they did a
yeah.
proof of concept for that too.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it was a quarter mile they did the full mile test track, but it's amazing to see, and I think that's awesome to be able to put a concept out there and not have any concern about capitalizing on it.
Yeah,
you know?
that's a really interesting.
He's not looking exactly, and I think that's. Again, that's just the thinking that we need more of. It's not looking at how can I better myself, but how can I better it for everyone else, right?
Yeah, that's one of the things that's interesting about it, is that it was put out there as an open source idea.
Mm-hmm.
And then I noticed mm-hmm. that initially a company, and now I think it's at least two companies, sort of took him up on that offer. But frankly, mm-hmm. I didn't expect to hear much more about it for years and years. And maybe it still will be years and years before it's actually put into practice. But the fact
right.
that enough energy and money has gone into developing the idea to the point that this one company actually had a demonstration, and shows me that there's people who are taking very seriously the feasibility of that technology. And that just blew my mind, because I thought, wow, this is so exciting to see how ideas can be shared. And that's a new
right.
concept. That's not really how things have been done in the past, for obvious reasons, in terms of how money is made and capitalizing on ideas. But I feel like it bodes well for huge, huge Mars shot ideas being put into practice by whoever does have the means to explore its feasibility.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. And to see the involvement from more than just the everyday person. I mean, it's in front day newspaper. Like, I remember when they were talking about this whole concept, and this is in recent news reading here in Toronto. I looked at a paper, and it was like, front page was about these designs from all universities around the States and a few in Canada who had designed actual pods for the vehicles that will be used inside of, the Hyperloop. And it was really cool to see that this is not just an idea,
fringe,
pipe dream, you know?
Yeah, it's not fringe,
this
it's
is
mainstream.
Something that's this is mainstream. Like, people are ready to accept this. We're like, why not? Let's do it.
It's pretty cool when you start by having these conversations with certain friends who happen to share an interest in a given thing, and you see it becoming a broader conversation. Or if
mm-hmm.
you've been talking about electric vehicles for a few years, you see mm-hmm. how people have more orientation in the conversation. In the past, it would have seemed like just sort of a vague improbability. Now, more and more, I think people accept that that's inevitable, which is really exciting
yep.
because a lot of people did not have that awareness before. It's
yeah,
so exciting that's inevitable. It's so I love the idea of how much that right away it solves a to a certain degree it solves pollution. I mean, it's not the only piece of the puzzle,
right?
But right away, knowing that there's cars zipping around and there's no emissions, that's beautiful. That's such a beautiful thing.
It is. It is, and it's amazing. In every step, it's. So cool. So incredibly cool. I love it. I love the future. I love technology.
Well, we should have more conversations about this. Thanks for joining me today. And we should get you calling in more often, maybe doing some sort of a weekly tech talk, just for like a segment where you could tell us something you learned about that week that you want to chat about.
Cool. Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Okay, cool. Thanks, John. Talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. Take care.
So that was my conversation this week with Jonathan Seibel. Jonathan, thanks for your time. I really had a great conversation talking about the things that I'm fascinated in as far as technology and the future and how they interact is concerned. All the things that Elon Musk is working on. You know about some of this stuff, I'm sure, peripherally, or maybe you've looked into it as well, Keith. But
yeah.
What about the electric car thing? Do you know about Tesla as far as what the role they're playing in this process?
I know some about it. I think... I watched the electric car movie.
Which one? The Revenge of the Electric Car?
Is that what it's called?
There's one that came out called Who Killed the Electric Car?
That's the one I saw. Yeah, yeah.
And that was one I saw a few years ago, which is about the EV one.
Right.
And how in the 90s, I think it was GM released it, and it was very limited. I think there was a couple thousand. And then controversially, they were all taken back.
Right.
And the documentary was about that. The truth be told, the technology is probably pretty limited at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But the way I first learned about Tesla and the Nissan Leaf and the Chevy Volt and some other technologies at the time, 5 or 10 years ago, was the sequel to that documentary called Revenge of the Electric Car.
Yeah,
and that's when I first learned what the sort of the infancy of Tesla was. And in the last 5 years, for me, I've seen how it's played out and how successful it's been. It's still early days, but I'm really excited about the Model 3 just because that represents mass adoption.
Yeah, I have a friend who is holding out getting a new car because he wants to hit the Tesla.
You and I are in the same boat, right? Because we both have cars that are approximately 20-ish years old. They're reliable.
We're rich and famous. And
they're reliable Hondas.
Yes.
And they're relatively low kilometers. So for me, like, I'm hoping to drive my car for at least 5 years. It's the only car I've ever owned.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping it will be the only internal combustion vehicle ever.
I think we're both on the same page. There's a whole bunch of us who are like, we can hold on so that the next thing we do is a Tesla or an electric car of your.
Yeah, well, and the thing about Tesla is, I think we talked about in the interview, is that, you know, they'll tell you that they're okay with competition. They don't mind if other companies...
Oh, they're doing it right. That guy's got it figured out for sure. That's how I heard most about him, is when you put him in the upper echelons of these millionaires and billionaires who are actually trying to make the world a better place.
Yeah.
And his attitude just seems to be top-notch all the time.
Yeah, I'm excited about that possibility. And it's been slow and steady. I see a few around town here in Vancouver. It's still absolutely a niche vehicle. But I think for a lot of people, they don't realize. We talked about the exponential rate of growth and technology, but definitely the exponential rate of adoption, kind of like the way the smartphone or the iPhone, how that played out, or the iPod for that matter. I think that's going to happen with electric cars, hopefully the next 5, 10, 15 years. And you need the whole self-driving thing. That alone, just talking about cars, is a sort of a gateway into understanding how quickly things will change. Forget about the electrification. Then there's the fact that they could be self-driving, and there's the whole rideshare thing with Uber.
Yeah.
Just cars alone is a huge topic.
Yeah, the cars that do your hair for you. And
those are coming.
Call your mom.
Yeah, at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, just those two functions.
Yeah, it's two big buttons. Car drives itself. Do my hair, call my mom.
Folks, if you're just tuning in, this is Now We're Talking. I'm your host, Jeff Bryant, as always, with Keith Kennedy here in the studio.
Yo.
This is CITR 101.9 FM. The show is also available for consumption after the fact at the website, citr.ca. Thanks for tuning in, as always. And in the last couple episodes, if you've tuned in, you'll know that Rory Updike is an area actor. And he has been kind enough to offer sponsorship for the show. That's been working out great, right?
Yeah, I couldn't have asked for more in terms of sponsorship.
Yeah, exactly. What else do you want?
Yeah. Was there sarcasm in the mic there?
I don't know. I think there's a filter. Let me turn that filter up. Let's try that again. Say that again.
Sure. I'm really glad to have him on board.
There you go. That's it was just a little knob that was twisted in the wrong direction.
Sarcasm was up a little.
But if you've tuned in the last couple of weeks, you've heard that he's a monologuist, essentially, right? Yeah. We've heard a couple monologues. We've decided that there's a lot of gravitas to the performance. And what I did this week, when he confirmed that he still had some funds left to sponsor a portion of this. Now, last week, he sponsored half the show. This week, he's only sponsoring 3 minutes. So I'm a little bit worried about what's happening in terms of his financial bottom line. But I asked him, Rory, could you do a monologue this week that specifically would address the future and technology? And you know what, Keith? He did it.
Oh, good.
You want to check it out?
Yeah.
And now a dramatic monologue brought to you by Rory Reginald James Updike III, which is me. The future is now. That's right. It has already begun. How do I know this? Why wouldn't I know this? Think about it. The future is all around us, filled with various components of technology for all to hear and see. Look around. See it. Look around. Smell it. Look around. Technology. The future. Rory Reginald James Updike III. Available for hire.
Wow, there it is.
Yeah.
You know, I have to say that I am impressed with the fact that he, again, Rory Updike did that on demand. The other monologues we've heard in the past, I think he's just had those in the can, so to speak. This one was customized specifically for our future and technology theme this week here, and now we're talking. What did you think? Did you enjoy his performance?
He's like a comedian, right? Where he did like, he'd spent his whole career making these monologues, and then on the spot, we asked him to do a new one, and turns out he's that good. So, hire him because he can just do that on the spot.
I was wondering what you meant when you said he was kind of like a comedian because there's definitely nothing funny about that. If anything, did you notice that it almost sounds like his voice, I don't know, does it sound like, we've talked about how there's gravitas, which we like, but it almost sounds like there's too much gravitas. And I don't know if that's a choice as a performer, if that's just...
Like it's distorted by some sort of machine?
I could be distorted by a machine.
Yeah.
That's possible. I didn't consider that.
Maybe.
But it also just feels like in the delivery, it feels like he's becoming, I don't know, man. As I say, I think maybe he's becoming a little bit, he still hasn't been booked. And folks, listen,
it's desperation.
It could be. And I hesitate to say that because he is our sponsor.
Yeah.
And I don't, but I'm just trying to be real about this. Listen, folks, if you're out there and you're considering booking Rory Updike for your, let's say, community theater performance, or if there's like a child's birthday coming up, or
voice
what have
for
you,
your GPS,
voice for your GPS, you know, consider it.
Yeah.
And you know, send us an email, and you know, you can send us an email about that. By the way, the email address for the show is nwtpod@gmail.com. And speaking of which, Keith, we received last week. I said, send us an email. Be the first.
Oh, right. Yeah.
To sort of christen the email address.
Yeah.
And we'll acknowledge you as the first ever email sender for the show. And this week it was Miguel from Kelowna, and that was cool. What did he do? He sent us an email asking us a question for Ask Keith Anything,
right?
Yeah,
for Ask Keith Anything.
Well, let's do Ask Keith Anything right now.
It's time for Ask Keith Anything. That's right, folks. You can fax it in. You can mail it in. You can give us a call. You could even send over a mule. As long as there's a question for Keith.
There it is. That we don't need to hear more of that theme song.
No.
Honestly,
we have precious little time here, Jeff.
Folks, if you've heard the show, you understand what happens with the theme song.
It's mules.
We want to dive in. Yeah. If I'm honest, I got impatient, Keith, because I'm really wanting to know what the question was.
I was chomping at the bit over here.
Yeah, I want to know what the question is, and I want to know what your answer is. So, Miguel, again, thank you for sending the email to nwtpod@gmail.com here on the show. And the question, Keith, this week that Miguel posed, did I mention he's from Kelowna?
Yeah.
Good. The question that he posed is simply this. Keith, should I buy a self-driving car?
Oh, wow. That's an interesting question because I don't know if you can yet. Can you?
I don't think you can.
Okay. Well, let's just assume that we're getting close to that because, I mean, we clearly are. As everybody knows, the most dangerous thing you can ever do is drive a car near your house. Statistics say that's where a lot of bad things happen. So the idea of having self-driving cars is miraculous because the percentages go up in your favor of survival. It's much, much safer. So far, statistics have shown that it's much safer to not have humans be in control of large machines. And so on that front, of course, get a self-driving car. Push forward. Be the change that you want to, that you want to see. Is that backwards? And do it. But at the same time, I do understand people who think if something bad happens, they'd like to be in control. I mean, that's our innate humanness makes us want to be responsible for those things. And if something bad were to happen, I think the first thought many people would have was, well, if I was there and I could use my instincts and my reflexes, it wouldn't have happened. But statistically, machines are safer.
Short answer?
Yeah, I think let's do it. I think everyone join hands and let's jump into the future. And if self-driving cars is your way of making that leap, then leap as far and as high as you can.
There you go, folks. That's the answer this week. You get the premise here. If you send us an email to nwtpod@gmail.com, Keith will answer your question. Maybe you've asked your friends. Maybe you've asked your colleagues. Nobody knows the answer. Keith knows the answer. Send us an email. Also, why not find us on Twitter at @NWTPodcast? You can also hashtag NWTPodcast. I'm your host, Jeff Bryant. You're listening to CITR. And right now what we want to do is we're going to go check in with Keith in France. If you don't know, Euro has been going on, Euro 2016. It's a major football event. And I believe, I'm not sure, but I believe it's drawing to a close. This is our third and final segment with Keith over in France. He's going to tell us what's happening with Euro.
Football. A game known to some as soccer, but known to everybody else as football. This week, football correspondent Keith Kennedy explains what's going on in the world of soccer. I mean, football. Euro Cup 2016. Copa America 2016. What are they? And why are they happening at the same time? Keith Kennedy explains this week on Now We're Talking.
Okay, Keith, thanks for calling in from France. I know when we spoke a couple weeks ago, there was some confusion. The Copa America was happening. It sounded like you had some regret about going all the way to France, and then there were some games happening here in North America. But if I understand correctly, it sounds like you've managed to now, a couple weeks later, scrounge some money together. And is it true that you're going to a game?
Yeah, as you know, I went. I talked to my mom.
Oh,
and,
my.
And I got some tickets. I got some money from her, and I found a scalper, which was really sketchy because I've never done that before.
A
but
French
it
scalper?
Really well. Yeah, and it was like a little bit cheaper.
Oh, usually it costs more.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't believe it. I guess I was just, everyone was already got tickets or something. I don't know. I got them. I got the tickets for the final.
For the final,
I
know you've been there pretty much for the length of the entire tournament, but we haven't heard from you because I know your calling card ran out when we spoke a couple weeks ago. That was early in the tournament. There's been a lot happening, I understand, in the tournament, but we haven't heard from you because you've been tapped, but you're able to call today, and you're telling me that not only are you going to a game, but you're going to the game. You're going to the final.
It'll be the only one I go to, because of all those troubles you were talking about. We don't need to talk about that, of course.
No.
Now.
No.
Not what we want.
I'm so excited for you, Keith, because I was disappointed on your behalf that you'd gone all the way there and you weren't getting the chance to see a game. But it's, if you're going to go see the final game, maybe that makes up for the last couple weeks.
Maybe. I mean, I want to think that it will. If it's a great game and I get to experience all of this, it's going to be really, really exciting. It's shaping up to be a successful trip after all, Jeff.
Oh, that's great. So tell me more. Are you going to the stadium soon? Are you outside the stadium? Who's playing? Tell me what's happening.
I've been outside the stadium all morning. I'm very excited. I think we're about 15 minutes away from being let in. Looks like maybe there was a party here earlier that they have to clean up first.
Oh.
But, yeah, I haven't seen a lot of people yet, but I guess the French are fashionably late or something. They're very, very cool people.
So not a lot of people around, but okay. So, but I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of people there for the big game. So,
it must be
a big stadium.
Maybe at the back entrance or something. Like, obviously.
Oh.
So, you know, there's people in the street here and there.
Okay.
Not quite the crowd I would have expected, but but again, I've never done this before.
Right.
I guess they just come in at the last second, right?
Sure, sure. So who's playing in the big game today?
Yeah, so it's Portugal, which is really exciting. I have a friend who's Portuguese, and we're big fans of watching them together, and so I can't wait to talk to him. And then France, the home nation.
Oh, wow.
They were picked by some pundits. I didn't agree. I didn't think that they were going to be good enough, but they got their way all the way through. They handled Germany, which is really amazing, and so
Germany, which won the World Cup a couple of years ago, right?
Yeah, right.
That's exciting when the host nation plays in the final.
Yeah, and France always does well when they're at home. It's really exciting to see this historical perspective on it. Like, they just, for some reason, it makes no sense to me, but for some reason, they're really great. I can't wait to see them. I can't wait to see the final.
It makes it all the more curious that it's the host nation playing in the final. It's the big game. It sounds like the game is starting soon, but they haven't let you in the stadium yet, and you're saying you're not really seeing a lot of people there. That's strange to me.
No, there's a couple of people. There's the scalper still there.
Okay.
I'm waiting to him now. He's I don't know how he's got somewhere to go. That's funny. And then there's a girl I talked to earlier. It was amazing, Jeff. I walked up to her and I said, you're not gonna believe it. I said, "Voulez-vous français?" I said right to her, and she looked at me like I was a silly American. And
you tried out some of those French skills.
Yeah, I pointed to my Canadian flag, but she was going anyway. But I was really fun to do that to the French person.
Oh, maybe that made
I don't know.
Maybe that made a good impression that you're trying to speak the language. Maybe that helped you to get a reduced rate on the ticket from the scalper.
I wouldn't be surprised if I see her later. Oh, with the scalper, yeah. I don't know.
Maybe he observed that and thought this seems like a good guy. You know, he clearly speaks a little bit of French. I'll discount the price, because you said that did you pay below face value for the ticket?
Yeah, but below what I would have expected to. I'm not sure what they normally cost.
Right.
Yeah, it's about $40.
I'm excited. I'm actually getting excited to think about whether I'll see you in the crowd for this game. I'm just going to pull up the game and see if I can get it.
Do you know what I'm wearing or something?
Yeah, tell me how you're dressed.
Well, I'll be the one who isn't in blue, I guess. Even though I don't really see many people around, but I'm assuming they'll be blue. There'll be a whole bunch of Portuguese fans. So I'm wearing a red T-shirt, so maybe I'll blend in with the Portuguese.
Keith, I'm just, as I say, I was just trying to see if I could get a stream for the game so that I could watch the game. I'm getting excited hearing about it, and I wanted to pick you up in the crowd. It seems that there's already a result for the game. It was over hours ago. I don't want to give any spoilers for anybody in case they've taped the game or something, but the game is over, and they've announced, they've crowned the champion of the tournament.
I see what you're doing, Jeff. It's funny. I don't mean to be lacking in mirth, but I'm here now, and it's going to happen. We can be positive about it. I've got the tickets. Like, all jokes aside, I'm going to be able to do a great analysis of the final. But
No, Keith. I'm just doing more research and kind of corroborating it with different sources. The game definitely ended a few hours ago. I think you mentioned it seemed like there'd been a party there earlier. I think that I think it sounds like you might be at the right place, but I think you're there at the wrong time.
Oh, man. Are you sure?
It's pretty clear. I'm almost hesitant to have you go and speak to that scalper, because I think that that might...
Oh, he took off. I waved him and he took off.
Oh, he's gone. See? Oh, Keith. You know, I would suggest that you consult the internet to check for yourself, but I know that you're lacking in funds and you might not even have the ability to do that.
I got to call my mom if I have been...
Are you going to be okay to fly home? Because we could use you back here.
Maybe I need someone to help me find the airport.
Yeah, Keith, it seems like you've got it wrong. So why don't you just come back to Canada, and we'll just try to move beyond this. But I'm sorry to say that I think you've missed the game.
Yep, I missed the game.
Okay, Keith. Well, thanks a lot for calling in, and safe travels home.
Yeah, you too, or whatever.
Bye.
Bye.
Folks, welcome back to Now We're Talking. That's Keith checking in from Europe with Euro. Portugal won today. That was interesting. But let's move on. to the top five ways that technology can be bad. This week, technology is a theme of the show. And Keith, let's talk about the top five ways that technology can be bad. We've talked about a lot of ways in which it can be good.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a good opportunity for us to play the devil's advocate.
Yeah, exactly.
Why can it be bad? So what are you thinking about it this week?
Yeah, well, this is all sort of inspired by something my friend told me a couple of days ago about selfie stick accidents. So I'm going to throw that in there as number five.
That's a good one.
Yeah, apparently. And I guess the selfie stick itself isn't a piece of technology exactly.
In a way it is. But, not very sophisticated,
mm-hmm.
but it's an outgrowth. It grows out of the use of the smartphone.
Yeah, and of course the selfie, which is part of the social media
yes.
thing. And so apparently, I didn't know this, apparently people have very bad accidents to the point of death by, getting near an edge of a cliff and focusing on their selfie stick and then,
I was just thinking in terms of bad selfie stick etiquette, but there's sort of two things here. There's bad selfie stick etiquette,
yeah.
but yeah, that's right. I've seen some articles about this too, where people are becoming more and more adventurous about standing at a cliff's edge or these different naturalistic settings. And they're trying to get the ultimate picture for their Facebook profile. And they move beyond their limits and they slip and fall
like
and die.
Just like happens to all of us at times. There's too much going on in our brains. We focus on one thing. So they're thinking, I got to frame this right.
The irony about this, we're talking about technology, is that now more than ever, you could convincingly take a picture of yourself not on the precipice of a cliff.
Yeah, and just make and it
just
look
put
like...
it on to another image.
Yeah, that's true.
And nobody would know
the
difference.
We're taking such giant risks. And
so why would you risk death
yeah.
or even die to do something that technology allows us
I bet
not
after
to do.
They're dead, they hear you.
Oh, I bet I bet they're thinking a lot about that in their final moments.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Like, I could have green screened
That's a good one. That's number five. I mean, again, there's also this issue of
pressure.
Selfie stick etiquette. And what I'm noticing is a lot of moments where I went for a hike somewhere in Vancouver recently, and there's a sort of spot where people end up. It's like a vantage point or something. And I was noticing there's lots of people sitting around. And where in the past you would say, hey, would you mind taking a picture of me and my friends? People were whipping out their telescopic sticks. And not only were they doing that instead of asking somebody else to take the picture, but the sticks themselves were like violating people's personal space.
So now we're not only is it ridiculous that we need this many pictures, but it's also like social media keeping us separate from each other, lacking human connection.
Yeah.
We don't ask each other for anything anymore.
I feel like this should just be the top five ways
that
in which the
selfie stick
is ruining the world and society. But we should move on.
Okay.
And to number four, we're talking about the top five ways that technology can be bad. Number four.
Yeah. They take our jobs.
Oh, yeah. They took our jobs.
They took our jobs, man.
It's true. It's true. I have actually a lot of faith that a computer could come up with better conversation and banter than we do.
Oh,
and that doesn't mean that we're not okay at it,
but
probably you could have an algorithm that could be funnier, like 30%.
Yeah, ask computer anything would kill.
Yeah.
Yeah, that people would love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny that I don't feel threatened by this, but
what
about as a writer? Do you think that, what are the ways in which it's already, let's talk about the ways in which it's already taken people's jobs,
mm-hmm.
and what are the jobs that are sort of safe for a while? So for example, when I go to the grocery store, I'm very happy to use a machine
to talk to a computer,
to pay for my groceries. It seems to be faster, it's easier. I like that. Those kinds of jobs are starting to go for sure. But for you as a writer,
that's the line for sure. It's humanity.
You know,
what is that? But is it heart? Is it feeling? Does that come out in art? Like, how can a machine reproduce art? Yes, a machine could do a photorealistic version of a picture. It could probably draw something very well.
Well, I guess the question is for you as a vessel of consciousness, what is the experience by which you synthesize all the things you've mm-hmm. read and the feelings you've had into new writings?
Yeah.
And what would it take for a computer to be programmed to do
that? Yeah, that's interesting. You've made me rethink what I was thinking there, because I think that a computer could probably synthesize a lot of different things. You could program more than a human could even take into a computer, but the difference is doubt.
Okay.
So when you're an artist and you're a human, you're always afraid. Afraid's a big word, but mm-hmm. I think you know what I mean, that there's some fear that it's not good, or you're not good enough, or someone won't like it, whatever your aim is.
Whereas computers are so cocky.
Yeah, they're so, just naturally.
Those
leather jackets,
robo-writer.
Smoking cigarettes because they can't get cancer, whatever.
E-cigarettes.
Yeah. that's that too.
Yeah.
Oh, that's like a thrown in your face. They're using an e-cigarette.
Yeah, exactly.
They can't
don't
get cancer.
Need to, exactly. Just stick it to you.
Yeah, I think that...
So doubt you're saying is something that the computer wouldn't have that humans do, and that's a good thing?
Yeah, it's important to the art. to you're taking a risk often with your art. And
I'm glad doubt's a good thing, because it's been such a nagging, painful thing for me in my experience.
Well, artist doubt has to be your friend, because if you battle it, it never goes away.
Well, beyond the top five ways that technology can be bad, hopefully that's something I can gain from this conversation.
Or you could get a doubt chip inserted into your arm that erases it. Or
just erase the doubt. And that would turn me into a robo-writer.
Yeah.
Talking about the top five ways in which technology can be bad, this is a rich list so far. Ooh. We talked about selfie sticks. We talked about how they're taking our jobs. Mm-hmm. Number three.
Skynet.
Man, this is a rich topic.
Yeah, or artificial intelligence.
Artificial intelligence.
Yeah. So the idea that
go ahead.
Something could get so smart that it decides that maybe we don't need to be around anymore.
We are the virus.
Yeah.
We don't think of ourselves that way, but maybe computers would see it differently.
Yeah, well, if you look from a good distance away, we look a lot like a virus, right? As I think it's The Matrix, right? They talk about that you can see how we spread and devour resources. And so the idea that a computer can get so smart that it turns around and says, which is an old science fiction idea. It's been around for years and years. But the idea that, you know, the way to save the planet is to get rid of you stupid apes.
Skynet, that's Terminator, right?
Yeah, that's from
Terminator 2 or both Terminators?
That's a good question.
Because I just remember it from Terminator 2, but I don't know if it was discussed in the first. It probably is. But should I be concerned if I walk into the room and I notice that my laptop is open, facing the TV, watching Terminator 1 and or 2? I haven't had that experience, but if I had that experience, should I be worried about that?
Feel free to email in, but I'm pretty sure it's Justin 2. I think it's 2 where they introduce Skynet.
Yeah, let us know. We don't have access to computers because we fear them.
So please, where was my computer? It was here a while ago. And
please Google that for us.
It's off learning somewhere.
If only we had a robot, we could ask the robot to do that while we're doing this list. Yeah. Let's move on to number... that's a rich one. We could really extrapolate
We may have
that
to revisit
further.
Technology down the road.
I think we will. Number 2, for top 5 ways that technology can be bad.
Yeah, so distracted driving. I mean, this one's a bit less funny.
Okay, and well, this one works both ways, in a sense, because it's bad and good. Bad in the sense that people have the phone.
Yes.
And it's distracting. Good would be self-driving cars moving beyond it.
For sure. So right.
Temporarily bad, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, you've just destroyed the concept of the list. There's a positive to every one of these we've already discovered.
Well, I would say for this one, it's temporarily bad.
Yeah, but eventually it won't even matter anymore. Yeah, you're right. But yeah, people, I'm surprised still how much I see this. I was walking down the street just yesterday, and I saw someone not actively talking on their phone, but sort of having it in their hand while they're driving with one hand and looking down at it. And
it's hard not to.
Yeah.
I try not to. I'm surprised it's taken me this long. I can't imagine why it has, but I just, in the last couple of days, purchased one of those mounts to my windshield so that when I'm using Google Maps to navigate directions.
So it's more like a GPS.
Then it's a GPS
which
unit.
Was acceptable.
And even today we were talking on the phone while I was driving, and I put it on speakerphone that way. So that's a solution. But even that I've only done recently, and I don't want to do it because I can see that it's sketchy.
Mm-hmm.
And also there's a huge price to pay here in BC. It's massive. It's a huge ticket.
Yeah, they're really cracking down on it.
So I'm really conscious not to do it. But sometimes you notice, even for myself, a better example is when I'm walking downstairs. I'm like, this is probably not a good time to be texting somebody. And so I say, well, why don't you wait till you're at the bottom of the stairs? I'm like, could do.
Oh, I know.
But I have that sense of immediacy. We talked earlier about how you're one of the late adopters of texting. I'm sure for you, once you start doing it, it becomes part of your rhythm as a human and how you interface with others.
Yeah, no longer do we take the time to communicate. We're always communicating.
The funny thing about this one, number 2, is that number 3 was Skynet / AI. This is actually one that Skynet would be like, number 2, distracted driving. You should not use your phone. You should let me drive your car.
Yeah, they just take over. That's how we'll know.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's what it is. Maybe self-driving cars is the beginning of that. But it's funny. I wanted to point out before we got off number 2 here that I remember some statistics from a few years ago when they started trying to compile these things, and distracted driving is even worse than people realize. It's not just looking at your phone, because people thought, oh, I'll just have the phone on, I'll talk in my car, and I'm still paying attention. But every single thing you do that isn't driving your car, even if it's just listening to something, can distract you.
Yeah.
And some statistics from a few years ago indicated that just listening or having a conversation is almost as bad as using your telephone. Now, texting is another level that we've gotten to.
Yeah, because it's taking your eyes off the road.
Yeah, exactly. But sometimes, it's just like using a map. Like, we've talked about this before, that sometimes when you're stopped, it was very common for people to look at a map or something. So looking at your phone when you're stopped doesn't seem all that bad to me. It's just if you don't, again, like you said, the stairs, if you decide that you're going to keep going for a few seconds more while you start the car going, that's trouble.
Yeah, because part of me thinks, why is that against the law if you you know, clarify the directions on your smartphone at a stop sign,
yeah,
or a red light. And so part of me rejects that principle, but another part thinks, well, probably because people start with that.
Yeah, it's the slippery slope.
Now they're doing the yellow light. And, okay, let's move on to number one. We're talking about top five ways. I almost call it tap five ways.
Yeah.
Top five ways that technology can be bad. What's number one? This is a rich list. It's hard to know that if is this an actual sequence of, is this going to be the most, or are they just...
Well, they're all so good, I guess maybe it could be argued. Feel free to give us an email.
Yeah.
At nwtpod@gmail.com.
Nice. So what's number one this week?
So I wanted to talk about social media as number one, if that's cool, because I'm one of those guys who thinks that our social media relationships are bad.
Immediately after you plugged the email address, that was amazing.
I didn't notice. I think that our connectivity is wonderful. I'm definitely a big fan of the idea of how we communicate now and the idea that we can communicate as easily as we do. But I feel that face-to-face communication is an important skill because we often don't understand contextually what we're saying anymore. Texts can be tonally strange, and you can say something in one spirit and it can be taken in another spirit. And I just, the best way to handle that, the best thing we've come up with as humans is language. And that's even... fairly insufficient, but if you're face to face and you can see body cues, then you understand each other better. And the more we understand each other, the better we're going to handle everything that comes our way. And if we're using social media to be connected to the world and deal with all of the world's problems, the more we're face to face, the better we're going to actually solve those problems.
We should change the show from Now We're Talking to Now Keith and I Are Talking Using Body Cues.
There is a lot.
It's a little bit long-winded, mm-hmm. but it's true.
But it's catchy.
We're in the studio together. We're squared off facing each other.
Yeah.
And we're using our body.
Yeah, there's a lot of hand movements. I'm surprised you can't hear them. Sometimes I expect when we listen back.
Listen carefully sometimes, if possible. Roll up your windows if you're in the car. Listen carefully. You hear the sound of wind. That's not outside. Yeah. That's inside. That's us with our rapid
hand movements. That's verbal kung fu, baby.
That's right. What a rich list. It's true. I mean, with social media, for me, I've had lengthy periods where I've deactivated my Facebook account, and I haven't missed it at all. But what I've noticed is when I've done that, people have contacted me asking if everything's okay, mm-hmm. which is interesting because it implies that there must be something wrong.
Yeah, that you cut yourself off from the world.
In other words, being on Facebook is a given as a member of the world. There's no question that there's all sorts of ways it's useful, and you know the context of this show is a great example. I'm happy that the show can be available after it's aired on the internet.
When it benefits us, thumbs up.
Yeah, then it's good. Well, if it's, you're trying to communicate an idea or something that you're doing, that's great. But for me, I'm quite happy just to use social media to sort of leverage these human interactions we're having rather than for it to be the interaction in and of itself. Folks, if you're just tuning in, that was this week's top five ways in which technology can be bad. Number five was selfie stick accidents. Or we could also say selfie stick etiquette.
Yeah, etiquette, good.
Number four, taking our jobs. They're taking our jobs. They being those that, well, robots.
Yeah.
Robots,
it's robots,
really.
Yeah, don't shy away from it.
Number three, Skynet, artificial intelligence. Number two, distracted driving, although that will soon not be a problem mm-hmm. when Skynet takes over.
Yeah.
And number one, social media. It creates false relationships. It can do that, right?
Yeah.
Keith, we don't have much time left in the show, so I'm thinking, why don't we try something here? Let's role play. We're in traffic, and the year is 2045. You ready?
Okay, yeah, let's do it.
What's with all this traffic?
I don't know. I thought everything flew now.
Or if not fly, I thought it was supposed to be, what, self-driving? And
yeah, like what's with all these horns?
Yeah, why would people be using horns? It doesn't...
I know. I thought they were all on like a hive mind thing at this point, but still. It's almost like humans need horns.
I remember when we talked about this about, 30 years ago.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Back when we had that short-lived misguided adventure on community radio
before
together.
Before the fire, yeah.
That's what it was, wasn't it? Oh, yeah. We shouldn't have been smoking.
No. Anyway.
Anyway, I remember at the time I had some lofty expectations. We talked about how there was this exponential rate of growth in terms of technology.
But phew, things were really looking up.
I think it's actually gone downhill since then.
Yeah, it's just less traffic lights, more honking. The day we instituted the multiple honk system, we just went off the rails because humanity really leapt on that.
It did.
But nobody uses the friendly honk.
Keith, it's time right now for the campfire/traffic jam. What did we learn this week? We've got 1 minute to wrap up. Folks, thanks again for tuning in. It's Now We're Talking on CITR 101.9 FM. I'm Jeff with Keith. Keith, what did we learn this week?
Well, we learned that we all like Elon Musk quite a bit.
We do.
And we're a big fan of his progressive thoughts in terms of technology. We want to see Mars, baby.
Yeah, I talked to Jonathan Seibel, technology enthusiast in Toronto. We talked about SpaceX and Tesla. What else did we do? You and I also talked about, we did Ask Keith Anything. What did you tell us this week on Ask Keith Anything?
Oh, we talked about self-driving cars a little bit and the fact that I think we should go for it. I think it might be against your instincts, but why not? Why not give it a chance? Let the percentages save a bunch of lives.
That's right. We did top five reasons why technology is bad. Folks, this has been Now We're Talking, and we'll see you next week.